This is Reel 2, an interview with Kenneth David Shaver, Jr.
So, I had built me a new terminal up on Sunset Road in 1975, I believe it was. And said then I built 38 doors, I believe it was. And I said, that will last me as long as I expect to live. Mm-hmm. Well, we outgrew it. God knows we was handling 1,500,000 pounds a night, and the terminal was built for 750,000. And it was murder hour. So I'd been trying to buy McLean's. They said it was going to be, they'd been break, mm-hmm. going down. And I tried to buy McLean's terminal. And in fact, one time I had it pretty near under contract, and they said, well, we're not going to settle. We're going to try to survive. So when they went bankrupt, the bankruptcy judge called me. He said, I understand you've been trying to buy it. Would you like to buy it now? Or put in a bid for it. And I said, I don't know how much to bid. We'll find out the last appraisal. And I don't care if you go $5 above the last appraisal, as long as it's just above mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So I found out what the appraisal was. And so I made it $5,000 above what the last appraisal was. And I was the only one bid on it. So I got it. And that's where we're at today. There, that's a 90-door terminal. So, we've outgrown it. I don't know what they're gonna do now. So I told myself, I'm gonna get out. So
that's their problem.
That's your problem. So we went from two trucks with borrowed money to 1960 till 1991, I believe it was. We had 169. I just got a letter to $15 million a year.
Wow.
So
that's the American way.
That's right.
Good.
So I've been trying to sell it to the employees for a long time. They couldn't bring up enough money. I said, I got to have something up front. I can't just say you take over and not. So they said, well, how much you need? And I said, $1,250,000. Well, they've tried for 2 years and they finally brought 11. Four of them was trying to get it. Four had been with me for 29 years. So they couldn't get up that much money, so they brought in 11 more to employees, and they got it out. So I signed papers and May the 14th, and they got 15 years to pay for the rest of it.
That's good. Do you miss it?
I haven't had time. I haven't had time, no. I probably will this winter when the weather's bad, you know. Because I've been traveling a lot and seeing things. And when bad weather, well, I don't know. I'm trying to figure on maybe getting me a place in Florida so I won't have to pay so much income tax. Mm-hmm. And see, down there, they don't have state income tax.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Oh.
And so if I can get down there, then I'll save enough to pay for my house and then some.
Claim that as your residence down there.
Right. And come up here in the summertime, down there in the wintertime. That's what I'm planning on anyway. I'm working on it right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been interesting. Before we stop, I can't think of any other questions pertaining to the war period myself, but are there any other points at all that you can think of with regard to either your training stateside here, your experience in that very brief time you were in England? It was the 388th before that fateful third mission, or from your...
Don, I'll put it this way. I had some good training, but nowhere was I trained for what I was went through. I wasn't trained for nothing on what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I imagine it would have been extremely difficult to have trained any quantity of men for
I don't think you could have trained anybody. I don't blame the like I told him, I said, I'd never have blamed the United States for the poor training we got. They didn't tell us what could happen. They didn't tell us. If they had, we might have not. Well, we wouldn't have had to volunteer there to say, you do this, you do that. But I don't think they'd have gotten near as many done it if they didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, they had, in terms of your escape and your successful trip across Europe there en route to Spain, I imagine just a very small number managed to do what you did.
Well, I was the first one to ever make it. First one. Not the first one ever got out of, but I was the first one that had ever been captured and got away and got out. Mm-hmm. There was some that went out by boat and all before I did, but they never was captured. They were shot down in the underground and hit them before they ever got captured. Mm-hmm. But I was the first one to ever be captured and escape from the Germans and make it back. Mm-hmm. But and like you said, a lot of people ask me, why did I join the Air Force and did I ever remember depression? And I says, no, not really. And he says, well, why wasn't everybody? Didn't have this, didn't have that. I said, well, from the day I was born to the day I joined the Air Force, it'd been depression all my life. So,
was the norm, right?
That was the norm, yeah.
All right.
But no, I don't think that even the military ever would have thought about what you had to go through with if you were shot down by an enemy like that.
Well, I imagine, although in the code of conduct they tell you to try to escape every opportunity, I imagine they just naturally assumed that most people, if they survived the crash and were taken prisoners, that they would wind up in a prison camp until the end of the war.
Now, all of mine, the two that was wounded real bad, they were taken, and they were operated on and come back to the States in good shape. The ones that spent time in prison, they came back. We have a reunion. I belong to the Air Force Escapees, which is the escaping base.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to that, and then I belong to the 8th Air Force and the 388th Bomb Group.
Mm-hmm.
And we see each other three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
They live in, I got one lives in South Carolina, one that lives at in North Carolina, half from Southern Pines, what's that? And then I got one living in Michigan, one in California.
Uh-huh.
And we see them about three times a year.
I frequently, the 388th sends me their newsletter, you know, that newsletter that the 388th in North Carolina puts together. They usually send me a copy of it.
Huh? Well, I belong to them when it's nationwide, the 388th. And ours headquarters in Florida now. All the people that retired are most, that's where they live, most
right,
of them.
Right.
And it's, so as I belong to the 8th Air Force Historical Society and then the Air Force Escapees, and that's the three that I belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And they have meetings once a year, each one of them. And I used to go 4 or 5 days. And but this year, the 388th had their 50th reunion in at the base we flew from in Nettingshall, England.
Did they really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we went back over and saw some places that you can still see some of the runways, maybe one, two of them.
Well, now, didn't they have one last year, not this year, but maybe in 1990, in North Carolina and up?
I haven't been. Now, the last, I think, 3/8 was, last one I had was in, right out of Philadelphia.
There was one they invited me to. We have Frank Armstrong's papers. And, of course, he commanded the 388th and the 8th Air Force, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they sent them to me.
Could be. No, I don't think so. We had, they've been everywhere. They had to have them trial on the East Coast 1 year, the West Coast.
There was one that was not too far away, and they invited me to attend, but I didn't. You know, I didn't do so.
You should. You get a lot of. You get, like I told him, I think a lot of it's bullshit though.
Reminiscence is colored by time.
That's right, right. But we got one little fella that was only 18 years old. I have never in my life seen nobody could remember as much as he did. He remembers everything, just about. Of course, like I told him, I said, you should. You had 2 years to spend in prison. You had thinking nothing about what happened and when, and you put in your mind, you can't get it out.
Yeah, we had a gentleman in lived in Greenville who was shot down and imprisoned in Stalag 17B. And
I don't remember. I believe one of these was... Stalags, they were in Stalag, but I don't know. It was an 8, and there was 17.
17's the one that made the movie about, you know, that was so famous, and that's the one he was in. And, in talking with those who have been in prison by the Germans and then ones who were imprisoned by the Japanese, obviously the treatment of the ones in the German camp was much more humane
than the Japanese. In fact, I think
two different worlds, it sounds like.
Don, I think that if I'd have been in Japanese prison, I'd have died because I wouldn't put up with what they did. Of course, they say when you get in there and you confined, you do whatever mostly they tell you to do. I think I'd have fought till I killed because I wouldn't want to stay there. Well, that was my determination. I said, I am not going to spend the rest of my days in German prison. And I mean it. And I said, I may die trying, but I said, I'm going to try. And I didn't intend to spend the rest of my days in German prison. Which I survived, made it. So.
Wonder what happened to the German guards who lost 5 of their 6 prisoners.
Well, somebody said they were court-martialed also. I don't know. There wasn't any of them hurt that bad. The 2 that was tried and was given 8 years hard labor was for mangling up the German guards.
Oh, is that what, for assault?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, they were tried, and they were represented by American lawyer.
Oh, were they?
Yes.
American lawyers were allowed to come into Germany for...
No, they were. He'd been in the prison. He's in prison with them. I mean,
he was
in the Air Force, and he shot down and was in prison with them, but he represented.
So they allowed him to...
Yes, sir.
Now, that's interesting in itself.
Yeah.
So he was allowed, since he was an attorney, allowed
to... If I can find that, I'll mail it to you. I got the transcript of that trial.
Well, that would be fascinating.
If I can find it here somewhere.
Well, I'd love to have a copy of that.
Well, I'll mail it to you because I don't need it. It's not any benefit to me at all.
That's the type of thing that would be very interesting.
So far, out of the 6 that escaped, 4 of them have already got the Silver Star, and I'm for heroic actions beyond the call of duty. So mine's in the process now.
Yeah, I would think your experiences would certainly warrant the Silver Star.
Well, this is one of the reasons that mine has been so slow coming, because they were in prison. They got records of everything. Mine, since I wasn't in prison no longer than I was, they don't have records of what happened to me.
And, but still, you were captured and wound up in Spain. Someone didn't just wave a wand.
I got a whole thing that I sent of everything that happened. And so I got, a couple weeks ago, said that everything's working fine. I should have mine for long. I'm hoping I did. Yeah. Yeah, like I told him, I went through more than most of them. They were sitting in prison, and I went all the way to Spain, was back telling the rest of them how to do it.
Yeah, you carried out the mandate to try to escape.
That's right.
Yeah, I would love to see the transcript for that.
Well, if I can find it, I bet you it's somewhere in. I'll start going through everything. I got so much. I even got, I guess, 3 or 4 of those pads like you got right here.
Mm-hmm.
Pull it off. As I think about things, I sit down and write them down.
Gosh, could you copy those? Or let me copy them?
Let you copy them.
Because that would probably... well,
right here,
that's something that you were ever conscious of, trying to blend in
all entirely. The time. Yeah, that's all the time.
You had to make a conscious effort.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to walk too fast or not to be looking too obviously everything around you.
Gazing around to make sure there's nobody trying to get you something. Yeah, you had to be too conscious of it. Yeah. You had to be conscious of it all the time because you could give it away right quick if you didn't.
I imagine they were always looking for someone, for people who appeared to be out of place.
But if I can find those papers, the transcript and the pads that I got, I'll mail them to you, and then you can make a copy and mail them back to him. But a lot of time I just sit down and write whenever I think of something. And of course, they're not in order, but you can pretty well tell which ones goes where.
But
the transcripts on the trials is everything right down the line there.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be very interesting. It never occurred to me that they would allow an American prisoner who just happened to be an attorney to serve as a defense for someone they were trying.
But I don't think it done any good because he was given 8 years hard labor anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure it was more a mock trial than it was just a formality.
That's right. It was. In other words, they just went through the motion of it.
Well, this has been
things that we were strictly told. They were told also, no names.
Mm-hmm.
So since I've come back, I've had to find out who helped me and what and all, because I didn't know no names.
How did you go about finding these people if you didn't know the names? Well, I hadn't even thought of that.
One of the things it was that we started this Air Force Escapees of 80s. This is the way I got it. Then I get to learn. I know, find out this one. And I'd remember where they helped me at.
You know the locations of the houses of the
and
buildings. The house.
And this is where I found out a lot. I found, well, in this year alone, I found out people that I didn't have any idea.
You probably had to go to Holland to find that first house, didn't you?
Absolutely, I did.
And I would think that things had changed, so there you were coming out from the marshes upon this house to be able to recognize it after all
this. This fourth time I've been back, and this is the second time I've been back to this house. And so help me, it's not that much changed.
But the locale around it and everything, you were... No, you didn't have any trouble finding it the first time.
No, I knew it pretty well. Somebody told me. Okay. Somebody told me where it was, and that's the reason I didn't have no trouble finding it. They knew. They had found out through people talking and everything. They found out. So he says, "I'll take you." And a Dutchman took me to the house.
Okay.
And then I recognized right quick because it's a big... canal is widening in my boathouse out there that I had to swim to get to it. So I knew exactly when.
But it looks so typical of a lot of the houses you see in across Europe.
That's exactly right. But the reason I knew it was because of the location of the canals. It was a canal that come this way and then the one that went this way. And I come in from this way and crossed it, swam across it and got to the house. I know it because of the two big canals, that one leading off from the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I knew exactly. So they told me that's right.
Well, what name did you go under since they couldn't call you your name? What name was on your passport?
I forget what name was on it. I swear I do. But I had my picture that showed me. In fact, I had hair then. In fact, I believe I got a picture that came off my passport.
Did they call you by any name at all when you were dealing with you, or you were X, Y, and
Z?
Or?
Yeah, right. See if I can't find that. I should have it somewhere.
Well, I imagine that has been a real puzzle trying to trace down.
It's been
names and locations.
It has.
And people.
It's been quite a... I don't believe I got it. I don't know somewhere it is.
Obviously, the man was pretty good at preparing passports.
Oh,
but
he was. He even had even a stamp with the swastika and a German signature on it.
When did that was stolen or... Or don't crafted know. Himself.
I think it's crafted himself, but anyhow, he got a lot of by with it. Then I worked for the Germans in southern France, and that's where I was headed. Back to work. But tell you the truth, I don't remember what the name was on my passport. It wasn't my name,
right.
Because you know, darn right quick it wouldn't be. I hadn't thought about that. Really had. Well, now I'm going to start trying to find out that made he got it from the people that made it for the Germans.
So he, as part of their investigation, they had the Germans had photographed the plane when it crashed.
They had a photographer photograph it, and he got the picture from the photographer that had photographed it. And when he found out we was flying pistol pack and mama one, he remembered it, so he went back and got the picture. And mailed everyone the crew member one of them.
That's cool.
Everyone the crew member. I'll find that and let you see it.
Okay, I'd like to have a copy of that.
Would?
If I could.
Well, he could because he is mad to make copy made of it.
Well, what we can do is to, we have a photographer on our staff and frequently we'll make copy negatives from prints.
I'll find that for you in the transcript and my notes that I wrote written up that if you send them back to me, I'll farm them to and let you hunt out all the things. Even I got all that in my things I've written up. All my life for join the Air Force of what happened and all. In fact, I intended after I retired to sit down and write a book. But shoot, I got too much to do now.
Well, you know, you really should concentrate.
Well I've got two people that's offered to sit down with me and do it, and I just haven't took time yet.
Well, you know, it's such an interest, of course, in World War II at the present time, and. There are not that many who succeeded in doing what you did.
Well, so. Don, I had, you know, the schools has been bringing it up, World War II.
Right.
And I made three or four lectures, one at Concord, one at Albemarle, and one in Charlotte, and one Salisbury. I made... Hours talk at each one of the schools, the students today want to know what happened and all. So they had never heard nothing like this. And they Lord, after the hours up, they want to stay and ask questions.
That's the type of thing that really.
Well,
and if you were closer to Greenville, my wife would be.
This is the end of the interview.